Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. That company is GEICO. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time.
Now, Podcast One brings you Spike's Car Radio. A downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. Zuckerberg's already annoyed. You're already annoyed.
You know what I did too?
What?
I have not had sugar in 24 days
because
I was so in such a bad mood. I had a half a piece of cake. The sugar is coursing through my veins. It's making me angry and nauseous.
You know what the listeners are saying right now? Peanut M&M's. You're going to abandon us now? Now that you've got the whole world eating peanut M&M's, you're going to leave us, Zuckerman?
Exactly. They don't work for me anymore.
I'm still eating them. I've been getting mutants left and right.
Well, are you saving them?
I can't save a peanut M&M. I eat it.
You eat the mutants.
I like the mutants.
You know what somebody wrote to me? They said it's because they've taken the gluten out of the peanut M&M's, and that's why they are no longer uniform. I don't believe that.
No.
But
would the gluten be? Okay. In what, the peanut?
Can you actually identify gluten for me? If I took you into a factory with different things, would you be able to point at the gluten?
I can tell the things that I eat are gluten-free, they fall apart. So it's the glue times 10 that holds everything together.
Okay,
that's my theory.
But if we went into like a factory
but...
and there were vats of different powders
right.
and things, would you be able to say, oh, look at the gluten.
I want to buy gluten-filled. everything that's got gluten I like. But I also, Erica has a bunch of like gluten-free stuff in the house, and that's great too. Gluten-free pretzels. You feel like, you know, you look at the bag and you go, I'll take it because I can eat it. But really you can't. They're even more fattening than the regular
stuff.
They
have more carbohydrates. They have more other weird things.
Before we get Mr. Seinfeld on the phone, who's going to come and recap his 944. Geez, Zuckerman, please. I'm trying to speak and you're just interjecting profanity about Jerry Seinfeld, which is.
I didn't know we were talking about him. I take it back.
Fuck that. You said fuck that guy.
Who?
I said Jerry. Jerry Seinfeld.
I didn't say that.
No.
Did anyone hear me say
Will, did you hear him say that?
Okay.
I didn't actually.
There
I
you go.
It.
There you see. You're hearing
what
things.
Did you say, Ben?
I
tell
said,
me what you said.
That's a funny guy.
That's a funny guy.
That's a funny guy.
Oh, okay. All right. That's
fuck
a funny.
That
we
guy.
All.
Fuck the guy. Funny guy.
He's very sensitive. You should be careful. He's going to come on. He's going to talk about these. It's great because I have a new dimension to taproot car theory. We've discovered something through Jerry's purchases, two 944s, a 944 Cabriolet and a 944 Turbo. We're going to recap that with him. Before we do that, Zuckerman, you and I were just in Arizona for Barrett Jackson. And I thought, remember I was down there that first day we were shooting something with
yes.
Hangar 56 with my company. I said, you said, should I come down tonight? And I said, no, don't, because if you do, we're going to be flying back to L.A. tonight rather than spending at least 24 hours here.
And you made me laugh so hard with your description of it.
Well, how did I describe it?
Okay. You said it's you said there's turkey legs, the smell of fried sugar, funnel cakes. You said it's like a bad country fair, and a place where true religion genes are still in high
yes.
in high fashion. And then you said and the ambient noise is at 80 decibels and above that you can hear through the noise.
I heard it for two straight nights trying to go to bed in my head. It's a spectacle. It's a wonderful spectacle. I mean, I did cast it in a negative light for a couple of different reasons, but I had a great time there at the same time. We had these passes that were given to us by a friend of ours, and suddenly we're walking. Hey, you're going to unplug that in one second there. Be careful. Suddenly we're walking. And we walked right onto the stage where they're actually off the cards. Very different than Gooding, where you're kept behind and off the stage.
There's propriety.
I walked right in front of the podium while one of the cars is going off. And I'm just, you know, it was super fun. It's just not, they're not my kind of cars, that's all. But I really enjoyed everybody
was,
I met.
You
and
know
I,
what,
I liked the
you
whole
know
thing.
What reminded
it's
me,
a spectacle.
It was like Beyond Thunderdome. It was like the arena in Beyond Thunderdome.
You know what? And when we were there with our friend Moise. And when you were there, and, you know, you get kind of separated. And so what did I do when we got – I was a little nervous about that crowd and you mixing with that crowd, right?
All of the Jews. All of the Jews at Barrett Jackson, so you were calling
me. There weren't many of them there, so what did I do?
You called her Smith and Sullivan.
If I had to yell across the room, I would go, Mr. Sullivan, Mr. Smith. That was our little joke there. Yes. But even me, I look like city folk there, and I got a couple of looks. But I met a lot of Car Matchmaker fans. I met a lot of Spike's Car Radio fans.
That is
which
true.
Was really fun. And the one thing that unites all of us, even the folks who buy those cars, is we all like cars. So I did appreciate it on that level. A ton of great Mustangs. If you want to buy a Mustang, Barrett Jackson is the place to go. But can you believe it's what, 6 or 7 days? It was about
eight
football fields or bigger. What a spectacle that thing is.
Listen to this. At Gooding, it takes them 2 days to turn about 120 cars.
Yeah.
At Barrett Jackson, they do 1,500 cars approximately. 1,500 cars in 7 days. That's 350 cars a day. I'm sure somebody has had a heart attack on that stage that's working up there.
Yeah. And then you get in the middle, They could be auctioning off livestock for all I care.
Well, that's what it was like, chickens.
A big show. There's just a big show going on. But
seven football fields of shit, too.
While we're talking here, just call Jerry up and get him on. He can join us.
That funny guy.
That funny guy. That's exactly right, Zuckerman. You be careful. You be nice. You just have to do your due diligence with those cars because, you see cars come off the stage with one headlight on and weird hissing. Try not to talk over me, Zuckerman. Yeah, I'm the host of the show. If I want to shut you up, I shut you up.
That's what I
do.
I just got to go home. I like those two Buick GNXs or Grand Nationals. Those were cool.
Tell everybody the license plate.
Twin 1 and Twin 2.
Those were cool. We should have bought those. We should have just bought those. Hey, Jerry. Mr. Seinfeld.
Yes.
This is Spike Ferrison from Spike's Car Radio and the real Zuckerman.
Nice to meet you guys.
Are you in the bathroom? What are you doing? You get a strange sound.
I'm in the middle of dinner. 7 o'clock is dinner time at the Seinfeld house, and it couldn't be more inappropriate, but let's just do it.
Put the pork chops there.
We can call you back. What are you eating?
Really? Steak.
Oh, yeah? That sounds nice.
You can call me back when?
Well, how long do you want? You want 10 minutes? We've got more to talk about. We're just recapping Barrett Jackson here.
Yeah, I would like a longer. Can we do it in 30 minutes?
What it will? Do we have the studio time there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Okay, let's go 7:30.
Got it. We'll call you back.
Okay, great. All right.
All right, let's leave that in the
show. Whole dinner time conversation. Yeah,
of course. That's wonderful.
You see, Jerry's eating steak on the East Coast.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is he confirmed 2 hours ago, call me at 7.
Right.
And then he's mad at us. I have this theory about Jerry. It's called Two Jerry's Theory, that there are two very distinct and different Jerrys living in Jerry's head, and one Jerry will screw over the other Jerry. And this is a perfect example of that, where one Jerry says, call me. We're in. We're doing it. 7 o'clock. The other Jerry goes, why are you doing this to me? This is the worst time to talk. All right, let's do it.
You know that he does a bit about that. There's nighttime guy and morning guy.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Yeah, that whole bit. That's right. Exactly what he's talking about.
But it's happening during the day.
Yes.
It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
Anyway, all right, we're going to discuss this 9:44. Deal with Jerry.
Another dimension to the tap.
I'm trying to think of what else about Barrett Jackson, Zuckerman. You and I can sit and discuss Barrett for a second here. The fans want to hear this anyway.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's a logistical feat on par with Operation Overlord, the invasion of Normandy, that they get that much shit in northeast Phoenix. It's really insane what they've got going on there. There is somebody in charge of logistics there to make everything come in, to have the amount of cars there, 1,500 cars. people to push the cars, people to push the cars on, people to push the cars off, people to watch out so when they're pushing cars, they don't run somebody over. Where to set up the Hazara you're selling. People are selling buck knives. They're selling Western wear. They're selling mountain gear. They're selling foam beds.
Jukeboxes.
Airboats.
Yeah.
Slot machines.
How about just the auction? And now we also went over to Gooding, right? Which was a little more put together.
Genteel.
And yeah, it was nice. And they had the same. What I liked about Gooding, by the way, is they have that same setup at all their auctions. You kind of know where
it's always familiar.
Yeah, you know where the coffee booth is. You just know where you want to be in that auction. What about just the psychology of when you walk into that room, you feel like you got to buy something, right? And then you're in the middle of it and it hurts a little bit. But if you can make it out of that, like on the flight home, didn't you feel great
of
that
course.
We didn't buy anything?
Of course, because there was some, first of all, the way that they light everything. I've always remarked about Gooding. Like, okay, you go to Barrett Jackson and the cars are there. Warts and all, you can see every fucking defect. It's almost celebrated. You get to Gooding, and definitely it's the best day or night of those cars' lives. They are displayed in such a way, they are so appealing, and there is something about the atmosphere that makes you want to be a player. Mm-hmm. You want to go toe-to-toe with some other big shots.
See, I don't feel that way, Zuckerman. That's not what gets me crazy. What gets me crazy is the cars. But you've said this before. When you came on Car Matchmaker, you said that competitive feeling,
yes.
I must come in and I must win.
And then lose. The win-lose.
I don't know. I wonder if most people are like me or you. I look at the cars and I just desire the vehicle. I think this is unique to Zuckerman.
No.
Express yourself and crush.
I think other people are competitive. I think it comes from a little chip on the shoulder, all of this stuff that drive to be successful. Yes, I love the cars, but in the heat of the moment, bidding, in the heat of the moment when you're bidding,
yeah, that's fun.
You need to prevail over the other guy, just like in any fight, in any other competition, mano a mano. And
right.
So, and that's where I've gone before. And then the minute I win, I realize what a fucking loser I am.
I just lost.
It's such a horrible feeling. I paid all that money to have this.
Yeah, we already know this, and we do this over and over and over again.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Jerry's theory about partial conditioning.
Right.
Where it works out once every so often, you keep doing it, hoping to repeat the transitory victories.
Lot number 215. R.M. Sotheby's in Arizona, 2010 Porsche 911 Sport Classic. Number two of only 250 built by the Porsche Exclusive Department, 150 miles, so it's virtually new condition.
Virgin.
Now, what would make it new? 20 miles instead of virtually new? Just a quick answer. I don't need a long, blowhard answer. Just give me a quick one.
I don't know the difference.
Okay, you don't know the difference. Imported to the U.S. on show and display. The best.
Fuck you.
And most. I want to get it out. The best. Wait, who said that? Will? What did you say? The best and most complete driver's Carrera car.
Sure.
I'm going to go to you in a minute, Zuckerman. Just calm down. I know.
Can't
you guys.
Sugar.
Yeah, I know. I understand. You and I are mad for different reasons today, but I get it. This car was sold for, is this, wait, I just want to make sure I've got the right one here. This number is so ridiculous. Yeah, I do have the right number. Sold for all in $654,000, inclusive of applicable buyer's fee. Zuckerman, your thoughts?
To my surprise, I heard from our friend Cam Ingram at Road Scholars.
Yep.
And he told me that those cars had been trading in the fives. So that the number was, I would have thought that car was 150, 200. So I was thinking, somebody's paid triple what it's worth, which I still think is triple what it's worth. But the numbers are $500,000 for those things.
3,800cc 4-cam 4-valve, normally aspirated direct injection engine aided by a power kit that includes ported and polished combustion chamber, special resonance intake manifold that helps maintain peak power throughout the rev range, and a remapped ECU. We're going to remap. They did that remapping on paper, Zuckerman. That's what's impressive about it. There's also a new exhaust system, carbon fiber airbox. These upgrades produced a thumping 408 horsepower.
Oh,
I don't know.
Deal.
Is that really a thump? Is that a big thumping?
No.
A 23 horsepower improvement over the standard Carrera S. Power is delivered through a 6-speed. Hey, look, this is a long way of saying I don't. Oh my! And then they're talking about the roof called the double dome, reminiscent of the double roof seen on Zagato designs, but it's not a Zagato design. This is not a $660,000 car, is it?
No,
it's not. And people go crazy like we did. This is a 2010 911 with a ducktail, people.
You could buy a GT2 RS, a 997 GT2 yes. RS for less than that.
Channel your anger into this purchase. Go ahead,
I hope he's happy. I hope whoever bought that is happy. That talk about the win-lose.
Well, there are only 250 of them, so yes. Uh-huh. Okay, imported to the U.S. and shown display. There aren't many of them here, right? I know of a couple, right?
Right.
So maybe this is the same one. This isn't, you know, that all our friends had and were passing around, like, insert female reference here. Anyway, I don't know. This was the one sale we heard about all week long at Barrett Jackson in Arizona. This is what everybody was talking about. Did you hear, was there anything else that sold this week that caught your attention?
No, there were no real. This was the outlier.
Yeah, it is. And what did these cars go for originally? They had to be under two, right?
Yeah. Know your fate. You like short wheelbase 250 GTs, Ferraris, right?
Yes.
I think one went about $7 million,
yeah,
which
did.
I thought
yes,
was down.
Low. Yes, they are.
So it's down a couple mil, right?
They need to come down like six or seven more, and I'll get one.
Right. But as soon as the price of a sport classic, you're in.
Well, yeah, even that, it might be too much, but
yes.
We'll see. I'm looking at this car. Yeah, here's the sport classic.
It's a beautiful car. It's got a color scheme. It's got a ducktail.
You know what it reminds me of is our – I have an update on our GT3 Touring, all right? You know, and I don't know that I talked about this on the show,
I did.
We talked about wheel and tire package, right?
Yes.
They put on the new tire at the dealership. I've been driving for a week. It's been pulling to the right. I've been
like crazy.
Right. I spoke to Matt Farah about it. I had some theories about it. Went to the Renlist forums to figure it out. And what we put together after doing our own research, the dealership didn't quite know what we were talking about. And they were like, this is a very new model. You guys have one of the first ones, you know, some excuses. Is that one tire is 2,000 miles on it. The other one does not. These are Dunlop Sport Max 2s, right? And
right.
That they are, Matt Farah said, you know, they're designed to drive a couple thousand miles. That's it. And that's
right.
So you've got 2,000 on one, which is kind of a racing slick. And then you got this other one grabbing, and it's pushing you to the right? The car's going. I brought the car in this morning, and guess what we found out?
What did we find out?
They put the wrong tire on the car.
Dopes.
Well, none
courtesy of your professionals.
I'm one of those dopes. Yeah, I can't read tires these days. They're
okay.
So black. You get them in the garage. You know, I'm just not going to get the flashlight out to look.
Why would you suspect you had a different tire?
It was
on
a
the
Dunlop
car.
Sport Max instead of a Dunlop Sport Max 2. And now, look, they're getting a new one to put on, but I suspect. Because the car drove just fine with the 76 station plug in the middle of it. I suspect that's the issue here.
Wheel and tire package.
Yeah.
Suckers bet.
You know, I was a little worried about the wheel and tire package because when I spoke to the dealership, I said, if one new tire throws off my whole car, you should give me two tires for free, right? And they said, no, that's not going to happen.
Hmm.
So
that would be an interesting lawsuit. I could make it happen.
I love this. This is great. This is why we love Zuckerman. He's a lawyer. He can just say what he just said. It's very, very fast, very healing. I don't want you to – no, these are our friends. These are our friends at Beverly Hills Porsche.
Are they really our friends?
It's friendly.
Would they take my money? Would they charge you over sticker? Would they charge me over sticker?
Yeah. No, I know.
Right? So really, are they friends?
I don't know.
If I take you out to dinner and I say, I'll pay the check, and then I ask you for twice the money.
What do we want? Because there are a lot of Porsche dealers from around the world listening to this podcast. Why don't we test the loyalty of Beverly Hills Porsche, who we like, but you're right, the new Speedster, over sticker, that's what we're being told, right?
Right.
Who's going to get us one for sticker?
Right.
Who's going to get us one for sticker and then hear us say wonderful things about him on this podcast?
Right.
Let's test it.
You can buy our friendship at sticker.
It is a question that comes up a lot. We're going to call Jerry in a minute. Don't you worry. But a question that comes up a lot, Zuckerman, I know you've got it too, is how do you deal with this issue when you want these GT cars? I don't ever answer it because I'm not quite sure how to answer that. But when there's someone living in the middle of Pennsylvania or Kansas and they want a GT3 and they've called their closest dealer and they said it's 100 over sticker, what do you do after that?
Wow. Well, times are changing. We know they're making more of these specialty cars in an effort to bring down the black market in the specialty cars. I think that if you are really not a we were preferred customers of the former dealership, so we were getting these things at sticker because we bought so much business. Now I think we have to look for a different point of entry. But if you're talking about what does the guy in Pennsylvania do, he's screwed.
But what about yeah, it's tough. It's tough to figure that out. I mean, your firm buys a lot of Porsches.
Right.
And still, you're getting a little bit of a runaround right now because you didn't buy a 918.
Right.
Which that doesn't feel right, right?
And to Dean's credit, Dean, our friend, who formerly of the Auto Gallery and now of Beverly Hills Porsche, the guy we've been working with for years, he told me at the time I needed to buy a 918 for the VIP program. And I told him, you're hallucinating. How could that possibly upset all of the balance of car distribution? And
what
it
if,
did.
What if we pivot? Pivot to Ferrari, BMW.
Oof. I mean, I like some of those cars.
I'm getting a couple of Ferraris. I'm back in with Ferrari. I'm getting the new Portofino first.
What a charming name.
I'm getting that tomorrow. I will be picking up my mom. I have to pick my mom up at the airport. It'll be completely wasted on her. She well, what kind of car is this, okay. Michael? Why are you picking me up in this contraption, please?
Will you please tell her it's a Toyota? Will she believe that?
Yeah, I'll say it's the new Toyota Supra. I will say that. And it won't make any difference to her. It's like it's the new Marslander. It won't. You know, to her credit, though, she likes Porsche 914s. I
really?
Took her for a ride in a 914-6 that I own, and she loved that. She said, this is my favorite car that you've ever owned. Now, think about what that statement is. Think of how many
bizarre.
I've owned in my life.
That is a very strange statement.
It's cool, though. It was kind of cool that she said that.
You know, almost 20 years I've known you.
Yeah.
I've never met your mom.
You're going to meet my mom. I think I have to bring her out this weekend for one of the drives because if I leave her alone with the kids, they may shoot each other or something.
Now, can I ask her questions about your father?
Oh, she loves to talk about him. She's still very much in love with him, even though he's not with us anymore on this planet. I think he's been gone for 10 years.
Can I talk about the gambling?
I don't know.
What about that he's a hummingbird now?
Yeah, that would definitely go after that. My mom believes that my father's reincarnated as a hummingbird, and we have a lot of hummingbirds at the house, and she'll always stop dead in her tracks. The kids are very confused about how their grandfather turned into a bird.
This delights me because his nickname was Fats, and the idea that a smoking, gambling, overweight guy would be a hummingbird.
Zuckerman, not to get too into the subconscious, I think that's why you're my friend. Because you're very Fats-like in your presentation. Far more successful and far more eloquent, but your essential thing is very Fats-like.
My je ne sais quoi, my essence.
Yeah, I could call you Fats and feel very comfortable with it.
But the thing is, I would never say to you, well, Michael, I'm going to be reincarnated as a hummingbird. I know I would be reincarnated as a rat.
My dad would never confide that into me. He wouldn't have said that. He told her. She was the only person he spoke to.
I know, but okay, I'm going to tell you right now, if I come back, it's going to be something low to the ground and vile. It will not be a beautiful hummingbird.
Low to the ground, like what?
Something vile, like a skink.
Like one of these animals we send each other on Instagram
something,
back and forth?
Like badger-like, awful.
Like an overweight possum
an overweight
that's gorged
possum.
On garbage?
Yes.
Oh, man.
A fat raccoon that rolls over.
I've rolled through many different scenarios of coming back like animals, and none of them really work for me. At some point, even if you're the soaring eagle, you get shot by an idiot in somebody's backyard. If you're a dolphin, you're still in murky water. It's just what a horrible life that must be.
My father stayed up all night long smoking and drinking and grinding in his mind. What kind of animal would that be? a vulture.
Well, maybe we'll do a show about this soon. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a show about what animal would you be when you came back. I would guess most people can't. When it comes down to making the decision, actually following through. I mean, think of, it doesn't work for me. You think of how long. What's the lifespan of this guy? So dog, 12 years, really? In the last two are cancer? Injection site tumors?
Cataracts.
Cataracts. People kicking you and you can't say anything about it. I mean, forget it. Pooping in the backyard every 5 minutes. I don't know. There's none, right?
You know what comes after?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's just what's your line? It's just like before you were born?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. How did you feel before you were born? I don't remember it. Okay, guess where you're going. It's going to be. There's your depressing act break for Spike's Car Radio. In a minute, Jerry will be done with his
masticating his steak,
gourmet dessert, and his wife will allow him to talk to us about his 944 experience. He's taken possession of two of these cars. These were his Taproot cars. He bought them sight unseen, and he's driven both. And guess what?
You can do that.
You can do that.
When you're Jerry.
When you're Jerry. We've all done it too, and we're going to find out what he thinks of these cars. Was it a good decision or a bad decision? We'll be right back. 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer with your car from TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or at home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from local True Car certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together, the two of you. You can even hug if you want. You can ask questions, get the answers you need so there's no surprises, then simply leave your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a new, better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.
You're listening to Spike's Car Radio.
Welcome back, Spike's Car Radio. Jerry, we're calling Jerry right now. This is going to be good because I know a little bit about what's about to happen. I went driving with Jerry after he picked up the new car. Jerry, you there? Oh, he's ringing right now. This is good. This is fun leaving this in. I like hearing the ringtone.
Yeah.
All right, it's exciting. We don't know who's going to answer the phone right now. Betty's a slow eater.
Hold on.
Hello. Mr. Seinfeld, are you there? Is it? This is Spike Ferrison. Yeah. Is it okay if I use your voice on the air? That's what Letterman used to have to say. In New York, you have to ask permission first before you can record somebody. Did you know that?
I did not. May I use your voice on the air?
you may ask permission.
How was dinner?
Delicious.
Are you still eating? I hear you mashing.
I'm having a little of sweet. Yeah, I was.
Sacrament.
You just ruined that.
he Zuckerman gave up sugar. Now he's got to listen to this.
Wow.
As he
did you really,
away.
Paul?
I did. 24 days.
Wow.
Yeah, the weight's. I'm shedding weight.
Wow, good for you. So no bread, no pasta?
Nope, salads.
He looks
lots
completely
of salads.
Different.
Not completely.
Well, do you have water in there? I need a water.
And I feel tremendous, Jerry. And I sleep at night. I don't wake up with reflux.
So happy to hear this.
Yes, no agita.
Don't worry.
It'll come back.
All right, here I have a question. Why do you want to call this episode Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Because when we get together, that's what it's like, the three of us.
Ah, okay.
Really? Which one am I?
Each one of us. Well, you could be anyone you want.
I think fire is most desirable, but wind for you, Zuckerman. You're wind. Wind. Jerry's earth.
He's grounded.
Anytime we're on the three of us are on together, it should be called Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's really
funny.
There may
be some copyright infringement there.
There you go. All right. Well, we're talking about Taproot cars, and as we set up a little earlier in the episode, you called in a few eps back about the 944. Mm-hmm. You procured two.
a 944 Cabriolet and a 944 Turbo. Shortly after that, you were out here to drive the new 944 cab. I met you down at the Shell station on the PCH.
That's right. That's right.
I was in whatever I was in. I was driving next to you, and here was this beautiful silver with a navy blue top 944 that looked brand new. It was blowing my mind. I was really bummed that I was in a new car and not an old car like you. And when we got to Bill's, you had a frowny face. Tell us what was going on.
Well, I overinvested. You know, it's like I got so excited. You heard from my last show. I was so excited about 944s and remembering back to what they were like, which I had to remember back 32 years. And realizing, hey, there was something very interesting about that car. I need to get back into that. I forgot about that. And one of the things that happens with us is there's a big excitement in the car hobby of when you discover a niche that you realize you had overlooked. We tend to get very excited about that. Oh, I forgot about these, or I didn't know about these. Gives you something to look up. Gives you, like, you know, videos to watch and magazines and stuff. You just kind of, you get to dig, which is what we love to do. And so I bought two 944s, a 944 cab S2, which is the normally aspirated 16-valve. It was very early days of 16-valve engines. You know, prior to that, it was always two valves per cylinder. So now it was four valves per cylinder. And, you know, that was just very high-tech and better low-end response. And but still, it's 211 horsepower. It's a convertible, so you're losing some structural rigidity. And the whole feel of the car was just not sporty. It was too boulevard, too suburban, too it wasn't serious enough. And then I remember that magazine ad when they first introduced the 944 Turbo. And it was something about when Porsche does a turbo, we don't just bolt a turbo onto the engine. And they showed every part in one of those beautiful gray seamless photographs. And they show you all the parts that they change when they do a turbo, all the suspension parts. And everything is beefed up. Everything is adjusted, and the roll bars and different springs and different everything, you know. And that's when I realized I had miscalculated myself as someone who could appreciate a car that is not the sports-focused car of the time.
I remember
so far.
You were standing. Yeah. You and I were standing there, and you just said, "It's you know, I hate to say it, but it's boring." And then I pointed to your license plate frame, and the plate frame said, "Life is too short for boring cars." And I just went, well, it was right there the whole time. Why did you buy it?
Yeah, right.
You know, and
but it's a really nice car, and it is for sale now at South Bay Porsche.
Wait.
It's on their lot. It's got 4,000 miles on it. Someone who could be thrilled to have this car.
He offered it to us, Zuckerman.
I don't remember that.
Well, it was quick. I passed on it right away.
Then forget it.
But it's
no, you didn't. You wanted to drive it, and I wouldn't allow you to drive it because I know it's not going to suit your taste.
I recall driving a 944 in Car Matchmaker and having that feeling. What I did want to do was take the top down and experience the car as it was meant to be experienced. You're right about that.
I'm sure that would enhance the experience significantly. But, so, cut to yesterday.
Now hold on. I don't want to make that cut yet because when this happened, it gave an added dimension to the taproot theory that Mr. Zuckerman proposed all of these episodes back. Going back to your seminal car, the one that started it all, the taproot car.
Seminal.
And suddenly, with this, you've gone back and visited this 944, and you didn't like it. And it made me think that perhaps the taproot is underground and needs to stay underground, that it's the plant that blossoms from the taproot, Zuckerman, that we enjoy, not the root itself. Go
sure,
ahead.
Because you can't – okay. at times –
no.
Remember this. The famous writer said you could never go home.
Right.
And memory –
Thomas Wolfe.
Yes. Thank you. And memory – nostalgia. It shines up the past and makes it something it never was. And you're older, you're more sophisticated, you've experienced more, the world has gone on. Sometimes going back is a big mistake.
Like my taproot is a 911 from 1974 and C.P. Brown with Tannen Terrier. I'm not necessarily going back to that car ever. It started my love of the machine. Right, and I've driven other 911s, other cars that I like better. So in that case, I'm an underground taproot.
Right, and I'm never going to go. I'm never going to get a 72T that's built out as right. an
Green
RS.
Goblin.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yes, but
Jerry's found a valid taproot here.
That's right.
Well, first of all, I just want to make it very, very clear, crystal clear, that I 100% disagree with you can't go home again. Okay,
really, you're going to Massapequa?
I have done that my entire life. I went back to Long Island to live after I lived in L.A. I went back to stand-up after my TV series. I went back to the Upper West Side where I started my career at the age of 21. I have gone
back.
Did
you sell umbrellas in Midtown?
No.
Go ahead.
But all of those things have worked for me, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of those choices, I told you in my last episode about the Fiat 124, 128 Sport that I got, and couldn't believe how right I was that this was an incredibly sophisticated car for its time. Mm-hmm. And driving it now, having driven the greatest cars in the world, confirmed for me that I was sophisticated. Here's the problem. You guys were not sophisticated.
That's right. I was. You know, and I'm going to say that. You're an outlier. You are on the other side of the curve. You fell off the curve. We didn't know who we were when we were 17.
Right.
You knew who
right.
you were, and you stayed the same guy.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I knew. I was born me, and I have stayed... true to that.
You came out a 50-year-old Jerry.
So now, the second 944, the 944 Turbo, has been delivered. We have not spoken since this car was delivered, right? You picked this up the other day?
That's right.
And
that's correct.
Same
yesterday.
Experience? Different experience? What happened?
Okay, I go to pick up the car. It's in deepest, darkest Staten Island. And I venture in like, who were those two famous explorers?
Lewis and Clark.
No, not Lewis
Stanley.
And Clark. Was it something I presume,
Mr. Stanley. Stanley Livingston.
Mr. Stanley, I presume, yeah. So I'm hacking through the weeds of Staten Island. I found this car on the internet. I called the guy. He's a lovely guy. The car looks great in the pictures. We get shot to the underside. He provides that. We go all over the car. This is just going by internet pictures, which you know can be very risky. And I go out there, and there's the car right in the middle of the street. The guy's got it out there. It's clean. It's ready to go. He's a nice guy. The deal's done. I get in the car. I start it up, and I know right away it's genius. I'm a genius.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
He declares, self-declared genius, Zuckerman.
Super, just like Wile E. Coyote.
First of all, it's the hard top coupe, okay? It's not the convertible.
Right.
So it's solid. Mm-hmm. It's the turbo. The wheels are bigger. The body, the ride height is lower. The roll bars are thicker. The shocks are stronger. The springs are tougher. The engine is more powerful. It's black. I am in my zone of what is correct. And I put the car in gear, and I let the clutch up. And I'm with my friend Chris Mazzilli, who is one of the great Corvette mavens of the world right now. Chris is one of those guys who judges those Corvette, what's that organization?
NCRS.
That they, he's one of the judges, okay? He goes on eBay for 90 minutes every day to start his day just looking at cars.
Mazzilli.
And I said to him, isn't it amazing, guys like us, when you're so far down the road in this hobby, you can get in the car, go 20 feet, and know right away if it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right away.
Yep.
You put it in gear. I remember Andy Pruninger saying this about the 911R. He says, you back out of the parking spot, and you already know,
yeah, you know
something very
for
different.
Sure.
And that's what it was like. I got out on the highway, and that turbo kicks in, and there's a view down the hood of these cars that's just very comfortable. There's a really nice cockpit feel to this car, very, very Captain Kirk, Barca lounger kind of. You just feel like the captain. You know, you got a big console on your right. You got a nice armrest on your left. The steering wheel is low, beautiful analog dials. And because it's a 944, you just got that, you know, the 968, they put the headlights, were visible. The 944, it's just metal. It's just flat metal, just like a saucer, like an alien saucer glued to the ground. And it's, but it's an 80s car, so it's small. It's very, very tight. But like 914s, they have tons of room inside. You're going, where's all this room coming from? And of course, it doesn't have the crumple zones and all that stuff. But you're just in this unique experience. And the build quality is phenomenal.
Really?
This car is really great. It's 20,000 miles. So it's very, you know, fresh feeling car, but tracking straight down the road. And we've bought a few cars before, Chris Mazzilli and I have gone together to pick them up. And whenever we get a car, we go to Dunkin' Donuts to celebrate and get donuts and coffee.
Now,
and we
park what's
the car up front.
What's the horsepower in this car? Is it 250 or
247?
247, and it's that noticeable, that little increase in horsepower.
It's not a little. You got a 3,000-pound car. You're going from 211 to 247. Plus, it's the way it sits on the road. It's that. Remember the remember that old B.F. Goodrich Tiger Paws commercial with Uniroyal?
Yep.
And it was a cartoon of, like, the tiger.
Yep.
Just, you know, that grip. That's what this car feels like. It's just gripped, glued. You feel very low and glued to the pavement. And it's beautiful. And it's what's great about it is it's a different feel. It's not a 911. It's nothing like a 911. You go around that long curving ramp to get into the Lincoln Tunnel. It's like a big 180 entrance ramp, and you're going faster and faster, and it's just sitting perfectly 50-50 bounds. All the things I've talked about, and you're happy. You're happy.
Ducati
you go,
Ian.
I'm a genius, and I'm happy.
Ducati Ian, you've already answered a couple questions. We've got a ton of questions here. Everybody's dying. You know, you've awakened the people, the Porsche community, to the 944. So many people ask us about these cars. Now that you're in there, they're worried the market's going to go crazy. You know, you just answered Glenn Patterson's question. He wants to know if it drives anything like a 911. No, it does not. It's a new thing.
It is like a 911 in build quality.
Let
me tell you something. Build quality. There's nothing better than old build quality. This is why we like these old Mercedes diesels. When you're in a car that's new, they always feel pretty well made because it's new. When it's 30 years old, that's when you find out, was it really well made? And then 30 years later, that's when the truth comes out. It still feels strong and tight. No rattles, no squeaks, tracks well, precision, steering, all those things, it hasn't loosened up. Now, this car is obviously a low mileage example, so that's, you know, really favors the car. But still, any 30-year-old car is going to start to get a little loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
And this one feels, it doesn't feel like a 911, but it's built by guys who have the same philosophy. When you buy a sports car, you're buying a philosophy of what do I want, what do I don't want, what do I need, what do I not need. And to me, what I like, when I'm buying a Porsche, it's not the car. I'm buying the philosophy of what you should have. And a lot of that also has to do with the mass, the size, you know, that perfect envelope. That's what a sports car is. It's a perfect envelope when it's right.
Ducati Ian wants to know, how are you going to drive this 944 differently than the 911? Like, what drives will you do in the 944 versus a 911 drive? Canyon Carver.
Great question.
Yeah,
I'll drive it in the rain. I'll drive it in the snow. I won't. I won't be so protective of it. You don't feel like, oh, it's a 911. I can't take it out. It might rain. I don't want to get any acid rain on it. You can relax a little bit. I'll tell you, the hand, the stick, is one of the great sticks. And, you know, we're driving 911Rs and GT3 Tourings mm-hmm. now. You know, those are beautiful gearboxes and beautiful. The actual mechanism is mm-hmm. really, really good. And these really were good in their day, too. And that steering wheel, you know, see how you love that 964
right.
steering wheel leather?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it's got that
oh.
feel. That's
quality.
The feel.
Would
quality.
You yeah. substantial.
Another one of our listeners wants to know, would you consider it a daily driver, this car? Or is it just a weekend fun
1,000%.
Car?
No, daily. Daily. You got that big rear compartment. You're very comfortable. You got back seats. You got, liquid cooled, excellent heat and air conditioning.
Wow, Zuckerman, can you believe this?
I'm sold. He's made me incredibly jealous and desirous of having.
He's really
he's
good
got.
At it, though.
He is.
The way he puts words
okay,
together like this.
Happen.
And he is.
And here's, I have a finish for this story.
Okay.
So I buy the car from this guy in Staten Island. I drive back to my garage on the Upper West Side. I pull into my garage. There's a guy working on the door of my garage because it's broken. He's fixing it. I pull in. The guy says to me, "Were you in Staten Island today?" I go, "Yeah, I just picked up this car there. How'd you know that?" He said, "My best friend just sold you that car."
Come on.
He told me you were coming today. I didn't believe him.
Wow. Wow.
How about that?
That is wild.
That's good car karma.
That's supercar karma.
Yeah. And now, listen to this. Here's the good news for Zuckerman.
Not for me. Go ahead. What do you got?
He says to me, "Believe it or not," the guy that sold me the car says, "Believe it or not,
I got a better one, Zuck.
Somebody just contacted me with an even better one."
Yes. Yeah. 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 Keep talking.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now you got my
same
attention.
Same year, black, 9,000 miles.
We have
on
to
it.
Do it.
Look at that.
I'm doing it.
Wait,
and I'll sell you whichever one
is lesser.
Wait, that's good news for Zuckerman.
You get whichever one is
you
worse.
Get whichever one you want, and then I'll give you the lesser version.
Yes.
Oh my God!
I'm past the trash.
Unbelievable.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
That's how I ended up with the dark blue GT3.
Yeah,
I'm getting a fashion gray one. No, you're not, Spike. I'm getting it first. You take the blue one I bought. Ah. Well, the crumbs that fall out of Jerry's...
That white GT2 RS is killing me. That Ooh. Car is... I think that's the best...
I don't think that
so
car's
far.
Been announced yet, Zuckerman. You can go ahead and take a moment right now to tell us about your new acquisition.
I have a second or third interest in a GT2 RS.
So how many portions do you own altogether of a GT2
two,
RS?
I have two one-third slices.
Okay.
And I have one-third slice of two different cars. The chalk and Weissach with you and
yes.
Moise. And then with my two partners in the office, we got a white... Weissach, so it's white and black, and I got
wow.
the 18-way comfort seats. And I'm going to tell you, for me, it's a game changer. And I think
wow.
not a lot of people went white and black, and it really harkens back to, say, your 07 GT3
yeah.
RS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It
right,
really
right.
looks good, and it really looks tough.
And now you get the car. You're driving the GT2 RS now, because you don't drive ours much.
I can't.
Right. This is good
news
for me.
I'm crippled. You're in luck.
I'm putting lots of miles
on
that.
You're putting 90% of the miles on that car.
It's a good deal.
Moise will do 90% of the damage.
He does a lot of damage to the car, but that's cool, too. Are you driving yours, Jerry? Everybody, a lot of listeners asked about letting, can we let Jerry drive ours? But he's got a beautiful car. He's got a black car. Are you driving it?
Yeah. No, I'm not, because I'm in the middle of making Comedians in Cars, and I'm not getting out to L.A. enough.
Right.
Here's what I want to know from you guys. Has anybody driven the new GT3 RS?
Nope.
Not
a soul.
I know.
Anybody want it?
Nope.
Is the GT3 Touring beaten the GT3 RS for usability and more people want the Touring? Is that what's happened?
I believe in the PR, the fight for PR on a daily basis, the GT3 Touring has won. But the folks I've spoken to who have driven the GT3 RS are absolutely destroyed by it. They love it. I think that we're kind of not paying attention to a real – there's a story there. There's a story there.
It got lost in all the specialty cars. And
right. You can't get everything.
But we know that the 992 will have a stick. We won that battle.
Yes.
Right.
We're going to have that. And I think
and normally aspirated
remember,
too.
They've built the 992 to accommodate hybridization. So maybe the 991.2 is kind of the last pure 911, fair to say?
Oh, that conversation.
I've heard that since the 994s, 993s.
Yeah, saying that since 73.
Yeah. But no, you're right a lot.
Do you want a GT3 or MC, or are you over it?
No, I would rather, if there's going to be one more 991, it's the Speedster. But I don't see that happening for me.
Yeah, and if you think about GT cars, the GT2 RS is such a special kind of once every, what, every 10 years type deal. It's spectacular.
Right. So kills.
Yeah, for our little group, it's the one. It's the one.
But when the three of us take out three of these cars on PCH, this will really be like Hell's Angels.
Yeah. Yeah, when are you going to come out, Jerry?
Is that what the Hell's Angels would do, Z?
In 2019, we will be the Hell's Angels.
We've done this before. We did it with Carrera GTs. We've done it with GT3s. And there's a gang mentality, a fighter pilot, like fighter jets mentality to the driving that isn't necessarily good.
Yeah, it's a mob. It's mob dynamics.
Right.
Mitchell Clifton asked a question that has nothing to do with cars, but I really liked it, Jerry, and I want to ask you. Okay. He's like, let's say I'm walking towards Jerry on the sidewalk. What's the best way to indicate that I'm a fan while passing by, but I don't have anything material to say to him? I'm just a total stranger. I don't want an interaction, but I do want to non-verbally tell you how much I like you. What do you suggest?
That is a fantastic question.
Isn't it good? It's a good one, right?
Very considerate, thoughtful person. So let me compliment you on that. Well, I really like when they just say my first name and nothing else.
Right.
Not hi, Jerry. Not hey, Jerry. Just Jerry.
Oh,
keep walking.
Just Jerry. What about some sort of, we could just have a gesture, a face gesture, like a, a nose, a finger
like
on the
sting.
Nose.
Like
yeah, you could
sting.
Have your own thing that just your fans know about you. You could, right now, invent something. A little.
Like from the sting, that right. little nose thing from the sting?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Or you hold
I'm just very appreciative that he enjoys the work and he could say anything he wants. And it's all welcome.
Right. All
There's
right.
no hugs.
Carnuda wants to know, I think we've talked about it a little bit, but do you guys ever buy cars without driving them?
Well, there you go. That was the whole show.
Right. But
here's what I'm telling you. You can go home again. If you were smart in your youth and you did your research and you thought deeply about what should I get, what's the best car on the market now. And the 944 Turbo was the best sports car on the market. 87 to 89, it was. 911s were cool, but they weren't as good. They were interesting, just not as good a car. 944s did not capture people's fascinations for whatever reasons, but you go back to it, you get in it, and you go, oh, my God, these guys killed it when they made this car. So the concept of it, putting the gearbox in the back of the car, and moving the engine as close to the firewall as possible over the wheels, and you get perfect weight distribution, and you put the driver in the middle, that's going to feel really nice going down the road, and it sure does. And of course, then all the fine-tuning over the many years that they do, that they always do, even when the company's on the balls of its ass, they do that engineering work until the thing is perfect.
You know, maybe that signal should just be holding up numbers, Zuckerman, like 944. When people walk by, just go to Jerry, 944 with your fingers, and he'll understand what that means. But buying, I just wanted to touch upon the idea of buying this thing on the internet that then gets delivered to your driveway and you don't like it. How do you guys handle that? What do you do? Do you just unwind the deal? Is that what you did, Jerry? You just called him up and said, It's not for me. I love it. And do you end up paying for the shipping? Do they? How does it work?
Well, we did offer the guy who sold me the cab back if he wanted it back because it wasn't what I wanted. He elected to not do that, which is fine. And his prerogative. And then we moved it on to South Bay Porsche.
Wow. So you got jammed up with it. What do you do, Zuckerman?
I've made mistakes.
You're a lawyer, right?
No, you sell it. You move on. Maybe you take a loss. You know, if you're going to be in the game, sometimes you get a losing hand. You can't win everyone.
Right.
What about there's a listener here who I can't find, but he wanted to know about 914s. Why do you think 914s over 944s if you're just starting out and you don't have 911 money?
No, the 944, but it's got to be the turbo. I am not endorsing the normally aspirated 944. I want to be clear about that. You've got to get the top dog.
The
I
top
watched
dog.
A video the other day of somebody that had a 944 turbo with 400,000 miles on it. 400,000. That tells you how the thing's made.
Right.
It tells you you don't want to hang out with that car.
But then, but you just skip past the 914, which is a car we all love. We love 914s, right? But those are now, they're a little higher than 944s, right? They're up toward 100 grand, especially if it's a six. What about Caymans? Would you look at Caymans, you guys? The GT4, why don't you ever buy these cars? Why don't you ever drive these cars? Philip Mitchell wants to know.
Well, Jerry has.
I've driven them on the track.
I had one Cayman when it first came out. It's another car with outstanding Porsche touch and engineering and mastery, but is a challenge for character and personality. And the 944 and the 914 also fall into that category. When there's a more interesting personality in the room, Mr. Zuckerman is a perfect example. That's who people want to hear from.
What did
he
you
always write? Of course not.
Did you
rather listen to him talk?
Wait a minute! It's a roast. All of a sudden,
I
it's
love
turned
it.
Into
no,
a
this
roast.
Is terrific. So it says
what did you what did you buy on Bring a Trailer recently? Did you buy this 944 there?
I bought the 944 Cabriolet on Bring a Trailer. It was a great experience. I love those guys. The whole bidding experience was great.
Here's the question, by the way, because I got it a lot after you did that. Everybody now knows your username. Are you going to stick with that username so we know
no,
who you are?
It.
You are.
So that's where that tweet came from. Somebody knew that I was bidding on that Subaru Brad. It must have been from the show.
Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And by the way, I saw the one you wanted at Barrett Jackson. It was there. It went for like 16.7.
I forgot to buy it.
It was a nice car. Yeah, it was a nice car.
I made a mistake. And you know what? I'm so down the road now on 944s. I'm in a swirl. I'm in a swoon.
Wow.
I can't wait to get back in this car and drive it. Oh, it just feels different from, you know, we go so 911 crazy. What if you had that same type of thoroughness in a completely different platform? It's that's what it is. So you're talking about the Cayman. It's the same thing.
Some last 23 wants to know, what do you do if your taproot car is particularly boring? And that's where I think we're in an underground and above ground taproot situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, man. I'm going to let you go. I know you got to work. We're out of time here. Thank you for filling us in on this. We've learned a lot about this new taproot theory and the ups and downs.
You can go home again. That's my message.
Wow. He's so positive, Zuckerman. He just
That's not true for me because I was a slapdick idiot from Huntington. I didn't know anything.
I think you can go home.
What was the first car you bought that you said, oh, I got that right? I bought the right thing there.
Yeah.
What was that car be?
You know, it's two cars. One, actually, it was a 1970 300 SEL 6.3. I was living above my means, but new cars, new car wise, it's a toss up between a BMW M5 was a pretty good move at the time. That was a nice car, but truly, when the first time I got a 997 GT3, that was my big home run. That's when I really got it right.
That's the greatest.
So. You're always going to go back to that and feel good about it, right?
You're right about that, yes.
Yeah. See,
but you've added a dimension. The first time you got it right, maybe that's the taproot car.
Maybe it's the taproot car.
The first time you got it right, because for me that becomes the 73 911 T. Remember that white car that you didn't buy from Tennessee that
car.
I bought? And then, or the 98 C2S, you know, and those were two perfect 911s that I absolutely, maybe that's.
So Jerry's been getting it right for 20 years longer than I have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were driving those 50s Corvettes.
Right. Well, I didn't know better. Like I said, I didn't know better.
All right, man. Well, thank you for calling in. We'll see you when you get out here. You can go ahead and let them go. Next week or soon, there's one more question, Zuckerman. Jan Coombs cars at Amelia. Are you guys going to buy any? I don't know about that, but Jan is coming on the show. He's going to come
really
on in a week or two and discuss all of the cars, the rare 911s and things he's got going up at Amelia. Anyway, that's it, Zuckerman. Thank you for coming in.
I'm in a much better mood. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll be back next week with Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio. Download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app or subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.
The biggest Sunday of the year is finally here as the Los Angeles Rams go head-to-head with the New England Patriots in Atlanta. And Podcast One Sportsnet has got your game day coverage. Tune into the Rich Eisen Show and the Dan Patrick Show for your daily game day analysis from the most iconic sportscasters around. As RJ Bell of RJ Bell's Dream Preview and Shaq from The Big Podcast come at you live on the ground for the best game day coverage available. No matter which team you're rooting for, download these shows and more each week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.